The Moj, Bob Marjanovic from Team 1040 Radio in Vancouver joins us again. Moj, how you doing?
Oh, one of these busy days. Sorry for not being there a couple minutes ago, but we just went to the Hockey Canada presser here in downtown Vancouver as they have their big gala event tonight down here. So talking hockey left, right, and center in Vancouver between the Canucks and this big Hockey Canada gala this afternoon.
Let's go to the Canucks. Willie Desjardins, who, excluding Lou Lamoriello when he came in on an interim basis, I can't think of another. I was looking it up. A head coach who was a rookie head coach at 57. Awesome for him. Why is he the right hire now for the Vancouver Canucks?
You know, that's a great question. And I was just talking to Bob Nicholson a couple of minutes ago, and we were talking about Willie Desjardins, and he just said, you know, he's a great hire. And we were talking about his, you know, all the superlatives that are attached to Willie Desjardins these days. But it was interesting in the sense that, you know, I asked Bob, I said, it's a shocker that he hasn't been hired yet. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, you can kind of think to yourself, well, why hasn't he been hired? But, you know, maybe some things worked against him, the fact that he never played in the National Hockey League. Of course, it wasn't a long-time assistant in the NHL. We know they had that cup of coffee with the Dallas Stars. But the one thing I think that Trevor Linden is doing with his organization is he is building an organization that has people with good character. And that's probably the biggest fit when you look at Willie Desjardins and Jim Benning. Yes, they don't have experience at the post that they've been appointed to with the Canuck organization. Benning, of course, no previous GM experience. Desjardins never been a head coach at the NHL level. But the one thing that we keep hearing about is character, and they're happy with the character that they have of these people and the fact that they all will work together, check their egos at the door, so to speak, and work together to make a strong organization.
What is the... You know, the Ryan Kessler rumors are out there. Trevor Linden and Jim Benning, man, they got a lot on their plate right now. You got the Ryan Kessler thing. There's the talk of maybe them trading up. I'm not sure how serious or not that is. What's the latest on Kessler? And do you know, we hear that St. Louis maybe is a team he wants to go to. How many teams are on this list that he would allegedly go to most?
Well, I mean, we've heard. I mean, nobody knows for sure. But, of course, you've heard Chicago could be on that list. You've heard Anaheim could be on that list. People have talked about the fact that maybe even Detroit's on this list. Nobody knows the real list per se, but the one thing is the Vancouver Canucks, all they need is two suitors. They don't need four or five or six teams that are going to drive the price up on Kessler. I think you're looking at two teams. If they can get two teams to go all in, they're going to come out with a good deal. And, you know, if you look at the free agent market this year, there's a couple of things that come into play. Number one, the salary cap is going up. And number two, you got a real thin free agent class. So you add those two things together, I mean, you're going to see some crazy prices being awarded for players in the free agent market. And, you know, Ryan Kessler, what, $5 million? He's going to look like a steal if you can manage to get Kessler off the Canucks' hand. So that's going to be Jim Benning's biggest challenge, is crafting a deal, getting two people to drive that price up, then, of course, taking the better package.
Why does Kessler want out of Vancouver so bad?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that come into play. Number one, he feels probably that the window is closed on this Canuck team winning a Stanley Cup championship. So that probably comes into play. I mean, he wants to win, and he wants to win now. And a lot of people feel that the Canucks are on the downside of the mountain when you look at the fact that they've got so many players of their core group that are over 30. Some people believe that this Canuck team should rebuild rather than retool, and that's a great debate that's going on in this market right now. It's this team's caught in a quandary. I mean, if you look at it, they're not bad enough to blow up, and yet they're really not that good to go all in. So it's a team that's kind of caught in no man's land when you look at its personnel. The other fact, too, is Kessler is one of those guys who is, how would we put it, aloof when it comes to his teammates. He's not the guy that's invited to go out for the dinners, you know, on the road. And I mean, I've heard so many stories about Kessler and the interaction that he has with his teammates, but probably the biggest thing that, you know, comes into play was at the start of last year, the Canuck players had a meeting in which Kessler was not present, from what we understand, and in that meeting, they decided to strip him of his alternate captain. So that tells you something a little bit right there about how his teammates feel about him. And I think once that happens, when that lack of confidence in Kessler comes through in his teammates, I think he kind of looks at the mirror and says, well, it's time to move on.
Bob Marjanovic joins us out of the Team 1040 in Vancouver. And that's interesting. When your own teammates strip you of the leadership, clearly that's a pretty glaring knock against you, and not necessarily that he didn't play hard, but that he wasn't a team guy. Do you think that hurts him as far as his trade value at all?
I think people are going to overlook that. I mean, especially if you have a strong leadership group within your team. And, you know, they're going to look at what Ryan Kesler can do for him on the ice. I mean, he's a two-way guy who, you know, has the potential. I'm not going to say 40 goals, but they say he's a 30-goal scorer now in his career. He has the potential to dominate games at certain points. So, yeah, I think, I mean, if you're desperate enough and you feel you're close enough to winning a championship, you probably overlook that and you toss the dice and see where it goes from there. But is it a strike against him? Probably. It doesn't help his value. But at the same time, I think he brings so much on the ice that, well, you know, some people might just overlook that right now.
Looking ahead to the draft, and there's all the rumors of Vancouver moving. I had heard that, you know, they would give up the sixth and maybe Hunter Shinkaruk to move up to number one. And then everybody's speculating that they would want Reinhart. If they move up to number one, is it Reinhart or is it Ekblad you think they want?
You know, I would probably say Reinhart, considering where this team is right now. But I've talked to people within the Canuck organization that have told me that the only franchise player they believe to be in this draft is Ekblad. But the issue is, if you look at the Canuck roster, they don't need defensemen. They need scoring. So you think it would be Reinhart. Of course, there's the local connection. His dad, Paul, played for the Canucks way back in the late 80s and early 90s. So, I mean, you know, you're hearing Reinhart as being the guy that they target. But at the same time, I mean, you know, to me, Ekblad's the franchise player. If you're going to trade up for number one, take the guy who's going to be the franchise player. But, again, Reinhart could be that target. And, you know, of course, there's a local connection. He's a Western Hockey League kid. Like I said, his dad's from here. So there's a lot of pressure, I think, on the Canucks to see if they can go out and get Reinhart.
And they would bring him in, and he would play right away. Would they slot him in, in place of Kesler as the second-line center, do you think? Or do they have the ability to protect him?
I think they probably, you know, if they trade Kesler, obviously, I think they'll give him the minutes and make him the number two center. But if Kesler remains on the team, then maybe you bring him in as a number three and have that ability to protect him. But, you know, again, it goes back to what you get back from Kesler as well. One of the things that the Canucks were talking about last year was getting a draft pick, a prospect, and a player. And, of course, names that we heard were like Brandon Sutter was the name that was always tossed around with Pittsburgh coming back. So that's the one thing that we keep hearing in terms of Kesler, what they get back, they're expecting to get back a second-line center in return for Kesler, or at least a third-liner. So if you do that, maybe you can divvy up the minutes a little bit and protect Reinhart if you do draft him.
If the Canucks trade Kesler, when they trade him, they obviously need a center, I'm guessing, to replace him because they got rid of Cody Hodgson, so they don't have a ton of other center depth right now, Bob. A center and what else? Do you think they take prospects, or do they need legitimate two NHL players right now?
Well, you know, that's, again, what we went back to. Where is this team right now in terms of the overall picture? Are they rebuilding or are they retooling? If you think that this team is close enough right now, perhaps you get two players that are ready to play at the NHL right now. If you believe, and a lot of us believe here in Vancouver, that they need to reload the prospect cupboard. So then if I'm running the team, I mean, I'm taking two prospects. But here's the problem that the Canucks have. The Canucks have, you know, they have Shinkaruk coming through. They have Bo Horvat coming through. Perhaps they get a couple more prospects that they get in this Kesler deal. The issue is, are these guys ready enough, say, in a couple of years, when you look at the situation with the Sedins? Will the Sedins still be at the top of their game in a couple of years? And will these guys that are coming through be able to contribute? I think that those two trains are they're not going to meet, if you know what I'm saying. It's not a situation where those two are going to overlap. I think by the time Hunter Shinkaruk and Horvat and whatever prospects come through, I don't think the Sedins will be those guys to get you to the deep into the playoffs.
Well, that's the thing. The Canucks, with the Sedins, they've got probably a three-year window, realistically, Moj, right? I would think to be competitive and feel like they can compete. But they're in the toughest division in hockey. Like, the Canucks are probably having nightmares going back to the 80s when it was the Oilers and the Flames and they had to compete against them. Now you've got the Kings, the Ducks, and the Sharks, and, you know, that's probably three of the top six teams in the league.
And here's the other issue that you have. Jim Benning has talked about the fact that, you know, he wants this team to play with speed. He also wants this team to play with toughness. You know, it's funny, everybody talked about the Boston model. Trevor Linden has talked about the Boston model. When Jim Benning came to Vancouver to his initial press conference, he goes, "This is the first I've heard of this so-called Boston model." But, I mean, if you look at that model, guess who's best suited to play in that model? Ryan Kesler. I mean, he's that guy who can play both ways. The Sedins aren't necessarily those big physical players. I mean, let's be real here. They don't fit that model per se. So then again, there's your issue with trading Kesler. He's probably one of the players that's best suited to play the style of game that you're probably, you know, you want your team to play here in the next few years. So And when you look at everybody else in this division, I mean, look at the teams, L.A., San Jose. You're talking teams with size, strength, Anaheim. They're all big, physical teams, and that's one of the things that the Canucks have to improve on. And at the same time, they're probably going to trade away probably their one of their best players when it comes to size, strength, and speed.
And, Moch, talk about the big Hockey Canada announcement gala that's going on.
Yeah, right now they're having a press conference here at the Sutton Place Hotel in downtown Vancouver. They're honoring Claire Drake as one of the Order of Hockey Canada honorees. Of course, they'll have the big gala dinner tonight at Rogers Arena. And then tomorrow they're going to have a big golf tournament at Northview Golf and Country Club. So all the Olympic players, both men's and women's teams, are apparently here. I just saw Carey Price walking by at the Sutton Place. Sidney Crosby's here for this press conference. Everybody else, I saw Mike Babcock a few minutes ago chatting with Pierre LeBrun. So it's just about everybody who's anybody from Hockey Canada is here in Vancouver for this gala dinner tonight. And, of course, the big golf tournament tomorrow as they raise funds for Hockey Canada. It's one of their biggest fundraisers and at the same time honor some of the greats from Canada's hockey history.
And I know here in Edmonton there's been a huge talk for a long time that Claire Drake should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame in the Builders category. Influenced so many coaches. I know Mike Babcock's there. Can you go down the list of so many great coaches? They've already talked about it. Pat Burns gets in 4 years too late for a lot of people because he's not around to enjoy it. Is there any talk at all? Do you think Claire Drake ever gets in?
You know, that's a tough one because I think one of the things that you need is you need somebody on that committee to go to bat for you. And, you know, I think when you look at his career, of course, obviously it warrants a spot in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But I think a lot of times, what we see in the Hockey Hall of Fame is an obsession of what people have done at the NHL level rather than, you know, just the overall game itself and particularly the Builders as well. So I would call it a long shot, but you never know.
Moj, always good to catch up with you. Should be a very interesting week for the Vancouver Canucks as we see what they do at the draft potentially, free agency, the Ryan Kessler trade. There'll definitely a lot of stories coming out of Vancouver.
Yeah, and I thought we were going to talk Lions and Eskimos for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, we can talk that probably on Friday as we get closer to the game.
Okay, bud, all the best.